So this morning we complete the Down to Earth series, the LICC material, which if you're anything like me, I've found to be a really easy way to connect with the Word of God, and has allowed me to see the Christmas story in a slightly different light. And we're continuing that this morning with a couple of readings from Luke and Matthew. In Luke 2, verses 1 to 7, we read, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place whilst Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them." And in Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12, we read, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. 'In Bethlehem, in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the wise men secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may too go and worship him.' After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." As I said, this morning we're continuing the series Down to Earth. And I was chatting to Malcolm as we were sat waiting, not during Peter's service yesterday, but as we were waiting for the service to start, and saying what a privilege it is for me to be here talking to you about this story. And I don't know if you've noticed the change in the NIV, but in 2011 there were some changes made as we understand the original scriptures a bit more. And the readings today were from that newer version of the NIV. If you're following the NIV that you've had for a while, from 1987, the words are slightly different, which is why I've been able to see this story through a slightly different light today. But it's great to be able to be here and celebrate Christmas Day with everybody. And whatever else today holds for you, whatever you're going to be eating, watching today, what you've given already or going to be giving or have received, it's good for us to take this moment now to consider that moment then, the moment when Jesus was born and placed in a simple manger. When we picture today's Christmas readings, there's a lot of high status people and places on display. There's palaces and kings, rulers, great cities, like when Herod is visited in Jerusalem, or when Caesar's decree compels so many people to travel to comply with his census. But Jesus is somewhere altogether more down to earth. There's no status in an animal feeding trough. Our down-to-earth king was found in a manger. Now, it's probably worth saying, for anyone trying to picture the scene, that whilst there's actually no mention of a stable as such, the Christmas readings are clear that there is a manger. There are three references to it. One's in our reading in Luke, and two come just after it. In Luke 2, verse 7, it says, can't get this to work, it's because I'm pressing the wrong one. Switch it on. The one thing I didn't do, where's the on switch? There you go. It's a miracle. In Luke 2, verse 7, it says, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. In verse 12, it says, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And in verse 16, it says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. There are different translations of Luke's account. Some feature the phrase, no room in the inn. And that's now somewhere deep in our tradition and understanding of Christmas. But as we read it here in this version, in Luke 2 verse 7, the word inn isn't used. And when you think back to what Malcolm told us a couple of Sundays ago about the size of Bethlehem, it was such a small village, about the size of Cone, it's not surprising that there may not have been any inns. But we simply don't know for certain. Most historians would say that it would be unthinkable for Joseph to return to his ancestral hometown and not stay with family, however distant those relations were. So Mary and Joseph could have been offered what was space left in a simple peasant home, either that of family or of neighbours. Often in that part of the world at that time, as John Smith told us a few Sundays ago, the lower floor or basement of the family home was where the animals were kept at night and where there would therefore have been mangers or feeding troughs. But that's not really the most important thing today. No. Picturing our Saviour God, the King of Kings, coming down to earth in the most vulnerable and humble of ways and each of us responding to him, that is the most important. So it doesn't really matter whether Jesus was born in a simple home with other extended family around him or a small guest house with relatives nearby. It really doesn't. Whatever the building it was in, it means that his birth most likely took place in a normal, down-to-earth Palestinian home, just like so many thousands of others. So the manger points to a few things for us all today. It points to a down-to-earth arrival. Imagine you meet a major movie star or a music star, someone whose work you've always greatly admired. It could be Taylor Swift or it could be Rowan Atkinson. They're two names you don't normally get in the same sentence. I was trying to build it out for the different age ranges here. For those of you who don't know Rowan Atkinson, just think Mr. Bean. Anyway, imagine that somehow a circumstance has arisen that allow you to have a conversation with them. And you find them really easy to chat to. And they are, in fact, in person, everything that you hoped they would be. You might actually use the phrase, they were really down to earth. When we use the phrase down to earth, what we really mean about celebrities in particular is a range of things. We're saying they're humble. They're easy to relate to. They understand normal life and that they are real or genuine. For Jesus to come to earth as a baby and be placed in a manger is the most down-to-earth arrival possible. Everything about Jesus' life on earth shows our God to be humble, relatable and real. He's genuine. when Jesus was born as a human in an ordinary guest room in the small town of Bethlehem, he totally transformed what the world thought it knew about God. Jesus is always the opposite of distant and untouchable. God with us. God living like us. God doing all the everyday things that we do. He became truly down to earth. As the minister Paul Levy puts it, God became man and took on flesh. The Creator became a creature. The one who hung the stars lay helpless in a manger. The one who we teach our children is so big, so strong and so mighty, became so tiny, so weak and so powerless. The King of the angels was made a little lower than the angels. The Creator of time entered time. The one whose everlasting arms are underneath his people lay vulnerable in his mother's arms. I think it's worth saying that we shouldn't confuse our humble, down-to-earth Saviour with a lack of real power, though. Whilst it looks like Herod has the power, the wise men are warned in a dream. And whilst it looks like Caesar has the power, God uses Caesar's decree for a census to fulfil the prophecy that the Saviour would be born in Bethlehem. The real power is still with our Lord, who is over all. The second sign is that it's a down-to-earth sign. When the angel appeared to the shepherds in the field to invite them to visit the newborn king, he told them to look for a baby in a manger. It's not working. There you go. So the manger is a sign, not just for the shepherds. It's a sign to all of us that Jesus is accessible to everyone who seeks him. The shepherds would almost certainly not have had access to a baby born in a royal palace. They would have been considered too unclean if Jesus was to be found straight away in the temple in Jerusalem. And as strangers, they probably wouldn't even have had access to a baby born inside a family home. But a manger in the part of the house where the animals were allowed was open and accessible to all. So Jesus in the manger in that lower part of the house is a sign of accessibility to us all. And then lastly, you'll be pleased to know, a sign that we're all invited. Jesus' example is one of humility and involvement, of putting your boots on and getting out there, of getting your hands dirty, working to make earth more like heaven. His mission touches every part of our lives, every place, every task, and every relationship. And just like the shepherds, we're invited to do more than just watch. We're invited to join in. Having seen Jesus, the shepherds spread the word, telling others what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard them were amazed. Sometimes, on today of all days, we can be so busy that we miss that the invitation is for us all. Like this example in this short clip.
Some years ago, I was in my office preparing a Christmas message. And while it's definitely not always like this, I think it was going pretty well. I had an illustration ready, I've got some Bible verse insights and some thoughts and an application, and I honestly, and obviously humbly, think it's going to be one of my better messages. I'm in the flow. You know, sometimes you're in the flow and then I get this interruption. Somebody knocks on my door, and it's a couple actually, and they've called in on the church and they've been sent to me for help. But they're people I've never met before. They're a young couple, she's heavily pregnant, and they're in need of help. And they don't have proper safe accommodation. They're in danger of being homeless. Honestly, I was busy writing, and I nearly totally missed the irony of it all. I nearly sent them away because I was busy writing my Christmas message until I realised that my Christmas message was about a young couple where she is heavily pregnant and they're in need of accommodation. I wonder sometimes, especially in the Christmas season, if we're so busy remembering the details of the Christmas story that we forget that we should be down-to-earth people, and whatever comes our way, we should live our lives in response to the Saviour that we celebrate.
I'm sure we can all agree that it's a good thing we don't stay here in church for the rest of the day. And actually, Peter told us on Sunday and yesterday that no one stays in the nativity scene. The shepherds hurry on. The wise men came later, but whenever they visited, they worshipped, gave gifts, and returned home. Mary and Joseph take Jesus back to Nazareth, and his mission grows and moves on from there. We, all of us, aren't called to stay gazing at the manger until next Christmas. Every day, we're invited by our down-to-earth Saviour to join in with his down-to-earth agenda and mission. Today is a day to be freshly inspired to follow the down-to-earth Saviour in our everyday lives.